Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we're raising our children out here in the eastern plains of Colorado during the decline of Western civilization. Dave Buhner also here in studio with me today. And we're coming out of some good years. I mean, you have to admit, the last about 1,000 years or so in the Western world has involved the rise of the Christian faith. I mean, hey, when we were all starting out in the 800s or 900s, there were a bunch of cannibals. We were a bunch of human sacrificing, bloodletting, tribe warring cannibals. But things have changed somewhat dramatically in Europe and America as the gospel of Jesus Christ really did penetrate. And there were some good times. Some good things happened. Scientific development did happen. And a lot of that came out of the Protestant Reformation. And we saw some rather incredible increases in technology and the ability to take dominion of the world. And we also saw an increase in economic stability. We saw some good things. The last 1,000 years have been pretty cool. Some good things have happened. And I'm thankful. But things are going downhill right now. And really everything topped out, at least in terms of the Western economy, in about 2008. So really the tip top, at least in terms of economics, was 2008. Granted, the moral well-being of the Western world began to take a pretty serious decline by the 1920s. Now, in the 1930s and 40s and 50s, there might have been a temporary reprieve to that, but then the 1960s pretty much set us on a downward spiral to the point now where we are headed down into Gomorrah, at least in terms of our morality, at least in terms of faith, in terms of the modern-day apostasy that's raging across the plains of America, Canada, and the Western world. Yeah, I mean, there are some negative things going on. And here is an important story. Again, we chronicle the decline of a civilization. I mean, this is important. This is why we broadcast from my basement, because we want to chronicle what is, I think, to be a very, very, very important incident in the history of the world. Hey, over 1,000 years, Western civilization grew and grew and grew and established itself on a basically biblical worldview. Then we abandoned it over the last 50, 80, 100 years. And now we don't have an ethical perspective effectively undergirding most of the Christian church today. And we do not have a Christian morality that undergirds our social and political systems. And therefore, we have seen the American economy top out in 2008. Now, here is the story from FoxNews.com. The median income now is worse than it was during the Great Recession. That's right. The median income now worse than it was during the Great Recession. We've seen a total of an 8.3% drop since roughly 2007, 2008, when Barack Obama was elected president of the United States. Now, I'm not one to say that it's Barack Obama's fault. I know that FoxNews.com wants to rush to judgment and say, hey, cause and effect, looks to me like the president got elected in 2008, which, by the way, was the very, very beginning of the recession. Of course, the Democrats turn around and say that it was George W. Bush's fault that the Great Recession came on in 2007 and 2008, and it was just Barack Obama that inherited it. And so they go back and forth and they have that silly little argument. And really what it all amounts to, friends, is I'm sorry that the foundations are utterly destroyed. And who cares what the window cleaning companies are doing, like Barack Obama or George W. Bush? Window cleaning companies aren't going to have anything to do with the foundations. The foundations have been eroded over the last 100 years. So there's absolutely no way that Barack Obama or George W. Bush is going to fix those foundations. They don't even intend to. They don't even intend to. Fox News, CNN does not even intend to address the foundations. That's what we're doing down here in my concrete basement on the eastern plains of Colorado. We're working the basement operation. We don't care about what happens in the window cleaning operations in Washington, D.C. Just doesn't really matter to us. The economic decline is all tied to the breakdown of social systems. I mean, hey, don't you think that maybe the economic stresses in this country may have something to do with 70% of young men not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970? And the increase of fatherlessness being seven times what it was in 1960. I mean, do you think that the character of the nation could have something to do with the economics of the nation? Do you think that maybe the foundations of this nation are utterly destroyed because the family is trashed? Because family relationships are trashed? Because father-son relationships hardly exist? Because father-daughter relationships are terribly strained and we have an increase in lesbianism and homosexuality and all the rest? Don't you think that it may have something to do with the character of the nation? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Dave, here's FoxNews.com in a sweat over the fact that the last 2 years, the median income has dropped another 4.2%, and apparently it dropped 4.1% between 2009 and 2010. Between 2010 and 2012, we see another 4.2% decline, which means we got a total of 8.3% decline on the median income, which means the good times are over. It's over. It's done. Good times are over. We have peaked out. The nation has peaked out. And I know what Clint Eastwood said in the Super Bowl commercials. Remember that? Dave, Clint Eastwood showed up in the Super
Bowl commercials. It's halftime in America.
It's halftime in America. It's halftime in America. No, 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 no. It's not halftime in America. We're overtime and we've lost. We're overtime and we've lost. Clint Eastwood doesn't have a clue. I don't understand what's going on with the foundations of America. Well, I mean, what's going to happen with a nation where 70% of young men are playing video games at 30 years of age? Well, we've got 80 million baby boomers out playing golf. While we've got a 7 times into the increased incidence in fatherlessness since the 1960s. I mean, come on, Clint, get a clue. The foundations are destroyed as long as the family is in sad shape and we have these birth implosions. And the demographic birth implosion is continuing already. I mean, hey, our birth rates are lower than they've ever been in the history of this country. We're what, below 2.0 right now? Yeah, we're imploding as a nation. Dave, hey, there's hope. There's a lot of hope, but the hope isn't going to be in government. It's not going to be in Washington, D.C. And I think that's the hard pill for most people to swallow. Somehow they think that if Romney was elected, he'd fix all this.
Well, it is the hard pill to swallow, and it actually goes to the foundation. After World War II, America failed not to win the war. America failed to give glory to God. America failed to understand that it was the providence of God and to break down and to worship him. And what some people celebrate as the greatest generation was actually the generation with the most hubris, the generation that gave up on hard work and worship.
Didn't they take prayer out of the public schools too? Didn't they take the Ten Commandments off the walls? Didn't they forget to give God the glory in the schools? They pretty much expunged every single last remnant of the fear of God as the beginning of knowledge in American schools. Isn't that what happened in the 50s and 60s and 70s?
That is what happened. This was the generation in which America left its moorings, left its history. It's the one that started expunging its history from every reference of God. I'm told, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm told at the Library of Congress, many of the founding documents were put into a special archive where they were not cataloged. And those are some of the most godly documents that are referenced, that reference God in from our framers and our founders. What was happening at that generation is men took glory from God. And God said, fine, you want to be God? You try it for a while. And it takes a little while, but you know, we're going to find out that we're not God.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the median income is worse now than it was during the Great Recession. It's an 8.3% drop. That means 10% decrease in what the average person's standard of living was as of what, just 4 years ago? And we're going to continue to see a drop. Right now, friends, if we live within our means, we'd be living about 40% under the standard we're living by right now, because Americans are still living on debt big time, big time. We ought to be living as the average Mexican family is living down south of the border right now. And because we're not willing to do that, I tell you what, 2020, 2030 is going to be really interesting, really interesting. But that's not the worst of it. Hey, we've got a tough story from FoxNews.com coming up just in a moment. America, not the free nation she once was. That next on Generations. Stay with us.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Dave Buhner also with me. And friends, boy, there are some stories coming out one after the other on what's going on with America in decline as the final empire of the Western civilization. That is, the other empires have already sort of fallen. You know, you saw the Spain Empire come and go. The French Empire came and went. And then eventually, the English Empire. The sun never set on the English Empire until the sun set on the English Empire, which is happening right now. And then America is really the last of the great empires, the great economic giants of the last 400 or 500 years. America is the very, very end of it. And now America itself is coming down. As an economic powerhouse, I read a story, I think just a couple days ago, on this very issue, that America and its global competitiveness has dropped to number 8 from number 1 just over the last 4 years or so. Now, here is another story that just came out of FoxNews.com. Here it is. The United States' reputation as home to one of the world's freest economies continues to decline, according to an international report released Tuesday. The U.S. dropped to 18th worldwide. This is blowing my socks off, friends. We are down to 18th worldwide as the freest economy in the world, compared to, get this, 10th in 2008. So just 4 years ago, Dave, we were 10th. In 1980 to 2000, we were number 3 in the 2012 Economic Freedom of the World Report. But by 2008, dropped to number 10. We are dropping off the cliff now, friends, as the freest economy in the world, down to number 18. The findings were based on information through 2010. The U.S. is on the wrong track, said the U.S. said co-author James Gwartney, a Florida State University economics professor. He says the 48-page report shows countries with the freest economies grow more rapidly and achieved higher income levels for citizens, while the United States' decade-plus course of government expansion, increased debt, and regulation, other moves, created a system of crony capitalism. The declining economic freedom rating of the U.S. provides confirmation of this trend. The report published in the United States by the libertarian-leading Cato Institute think tank ranks Hong Kong first among 144 countries, followed by Singapore, New Zealand, and Switzerland. Would these be better nations to go to if you wanted to be free, for example? If you wanted to find a new country, the home of the free, the land of the brave, if you wanted to go somewhere else, you'd have to go to New Zealand or Switzerland. The U.S. is behind, get this, Finland and Denmark. These are the two European welfare states. Oh, man alive. Dave, we're behind Finland and Denmark. I mean, this is frightening. This is frightening. Finland and Denmark? We're behind Finland and Denmark? Man, it's time to rebuild the second Mayflower and get this ship floating, friends. America is becoming the embarrassment of the free world. And it's partially due. You know that the Cato Institute and these conservatives want to blame it on Barack Obama. But Dave, as I said, this is not just Barack Obama. This is an entire infrastructure. This is the way we educate our children. This is the way we have not feared God for the last 100 years. And it's our upcomings. It's come time that we pay the piper, and God is not going to let us get away with this. Now, we've enjoyed great blessing, no question. We have been an economically blessed nation for a long time. And I would cross the nation and tell people in talks all across this nation, America is the most God-blessed nation on the face of the earth, most free, most prosperous, most charitable, most, you know, we talk about all that. David Noble gave us some of those talking points. But Dave, I mean, it's not happening as much as it used to be. I mean, we're falling off the cliff. We're falling off the cliff as a nation. Wake up, friends. America is no longer the nation it once was. Why? Because we've lost our roots. We've lost our roots. We've lost our roots. Now, does anybody want to rebuild this nation? Anybody want to rebuild a cultural systems and nations and free countries that could be a great haven for others and be a blessing for others for years to come, say 100 years from now? Better start on the second Mayflower and better start now. Now.
Kevin, it's with sadness that we have to reflect on what's happened to this nation, because this nation was founded, I believe, by godly men. Some who wanted to make it a city on a hill where God's law was going to be proclaimed and it would bring the blessings of liberty like the world had never seen. And it did. And for centuries, except for slavery, this nation was a very, very blessed nation. Now, we had the sin of slavery, and America had to repent. And I think there's some more repentance that needs to be done in this regard of racism and servitude. But we did something else. We unhinged ourselves from the law of God. We became a covetous people. We became a people who were proud, and arrogant. We won a victory in a war, and we did not give God glory. We took glory for ourselves and said, look how great we are. We said, we don't need God. We can become a humanist society. The court said, just don't even mention God anymore. Let's rewrite the Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment, that says you shall not have God in your laws and in your halls of government, rather than Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. Secularism became the religion of the day. Man turned his ways to his proclivities for sexual immorality and unhinged themselves from God's law with sexual mores. The blessings of good families, the blessings of intact households have been replaced with the curses of divorce, of fatherlessness, of bastard children. We've given up good masculine leadership and protection for feminism. Mm-hmm. It is with sadness. Yeah. The churches of this country once preached the word of God as absolute true. It was infallible and inerrant. And now it has become not even part of most sermons. And so it's with sadness that we chronicle the demise of this once great land, because this great land turned its back on the one that made it great. They turned it on the great one. Without the great one, you can't be great.
But Dave, you know, all of these things provide opportunities for the future. And Dave, I think there's a lot of facades coming off of this gigantic pseudo-Christian nation, that it's important for these facades to come down so that we can rebuild on good, solid foundations. And I don't think the Tea Party movement is going to pull it off. I don't think a lot of these conservative movements coming out of FoxNews.com and other places are really going to pull it off, because they're not going to be able to build covenants, coalitions, around a solid biblical basis. You've got to start with a solid biblical basis. And they don't start with a solid biblical basis. They start out with some kind of a libertarian principle of some sort, sort of like what, you know, the movie producer was talking about when he said incest doesn't hurt anybody. You know, they start with that libertarian presupposition, and that is not a solid biblical basis upon which to build a free nation. If a nation cannot fear God, a nation will not be blessed by God. Either you'll be governed by God, or by God you'll be governed. That is, by God's sovereign ordination, you will be tyrannized if you will not keep God's laws, if you will not walk in God's laws as a society. And Dave, a lot of these homeschool families, a lot of these freedom-loving people are not good at building covenants and coalitions. They're a bunch of lone wolves, and they'll never, never, ever survive, because they can't survive in a church. They can't build godly communities. They can't come together in accountable structures and somehow function in community, because they're such independently minded people. There's no hope for freedom with these people. No hope at all.
Kevin, they're looking for the fruit without the tree. In other words, they're looking for a form of godliness without the power thereof. They want the benefits of the liberty of a law-keeping society without keeping the law of the God of the society. And those two cannot exist, at least not for very long. So the problem with the Tea Party isn't that they long for liberty or they want smaller government. That's not their problem. Their problem is they don't want the government of Yahweh. Their problem is they don't want the law of God that gives them the very liberty that they desire.
Dave, you know, this freight train of the American economy is coming off the cliff, and it's very, very hard to stop a freight train when it's coming off the cliff, friends. We've dropped from number 10th as the most free economic nation in the world to number 18 in just, what, 2 years? Unbelievable what's going on with this nation. We could be at 25 or 28 or 36. We could be a full-fledged communist nation by 2014, 2018, 2024. Who knows? But this is the trend. And I'm sorry, but once the trends are going in this direction, it's going to be very, very hard to stop this freight train from coming off of the cliff. It's falling. It's in free fall. How do you stop it? Is it going to happen with our radio program? Is it going to happen with FoxNews.com? Is it going to happen with Glenn Beck and the tax or the Tea Party movement? I'm sorry, friends, it's not going to happen anytime too soon until we rebuild the foundations. Until we rebuild the foundations. And that's what my book, The Second Mayflower, is all about. And I'm sorry, but it's going to take about 3 to 4 generations. You're not going to fix it in 4 years. It's going to take 3 to 4 generations. It's a long-term, a really long-term project. Yeah, and you're going to have good, solid relationships with your own children. You can't be breaking covenant in your own family. You can't be breaking covenant in your marriage. You can't be breaking covenant with your children. You can't have mad daughters and angry sons. You got to have decent relationships in your family. You've got to build good, strong families, good, strong connections. You're going to have a vision that can somehow extend its way into the next generation, the next and the next. Otherwise, friends, I'm sorry, but there's no hope for the future. Outside of that, what I'm talking about is getting back to the Word of God and living in covenant. Living in covenant. Dave, I mean, we got to teach our children a lot of things as we prepare for what's coming. Personally, I don't think there's any turning back in the short term on some of this stuff.
We're headed at full speed for a waterfall, and we got one guy saying forward, another guy saying forward a little slower, but we're headed towards a waterfall here. Kevin, what we're trying to say is...
The Niagara Falls. Just say it. It's the Niagara Falls. I haven't been over the Niagara Falls to this point, but it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. We have to build our house upon the rock. We have taken away the rock, which is Christ, which is God's law, and we've tried to build a nation on sand, and the sand is shifting. The sand is not stable. The sand is arbitrary in its law systems. The sand is, you never know quite what you're going to get. And when the storms come, and it appears the storms are on the horizon, I see storm clouds coming. I see drought combined with debt. I see so much. And the rains will come, and the floods will come, and great will be the fall. Great will be the fall. That's what Jesus says. Great will be the fall when you build your house upon the sand. I think history is going to look back, and it's going to be amazed. It's going to say the pillars of a strong economy were in place. There are factories. Mm-hmm. They're sitting empty. There were workers not working. There were educated people with particular specialties who were not educated, were not working in their specialties, and were not contributing to the economy. There was capital in the forms of tools and things to make things, and it was not used. And there was energy, and it sat in the ground. And why? Because we were built on sand.
Yeah.
And I think history will not judge us nicely.
Dave, I think we need to be doing what we can to prepare for the future. And as men of Issachar, we need to understand the times. Boy, Dave, you've heard of these preppers out there, the guys who are preparing for this massive economic disaster. You've heard of the preppers?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Some of them kind of bother me. I tell you, I don't think they trust in God. I just get the sense these people don't understand the sovereignty of God. They don't understand the importance of rebuilding civilizations on God's law, on God's word. They seem to have a lot of fear. A lot of fear. And the fear is not the fear of God, but the fear of tyrants, fear of the future, fear of economic debacle. I just don't see a lot of solidness in the preppers. So they make me nervous.
They should make you nervous. Now, I have a lot of affinity with them. We have some similar interests, but our goals are different. And that's what's important. See, my goal is the kingdom of God. Their goal seems to be a little personal victory or survival. Now, I'm okay with going to heaven. You see,
They're looking out for number one, but you are looking out for number one. I mean, the number one.
The big one, yeah.
The big one, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They're looking for the fall of civilization, and I'm looking for the rise of the Church of Christ.
Amen.
And see, that's the big
Amen.
Difference.
Yeah.
I do believe that this country will probably not survive in its current form more than 20 years at most. It just can't. I have a hard time seeing us turning around the debt situation. I have some ideas, but of course they're never going to be exercised.
And Barack Obama has not called you.
He has not called me.
About your ideas.
I have some very good ideas. And so Barack Obama, if you want to turn this thing around, I have some great ideas.
Or better yet, Barack, just go to the Book of Proverbs.
That'd be a good start.
Yeah.
Some of my ideas came from there. One of the problems that we have with the preppers then is that they want to survive, but they don't want to survive in order to build the kingdom. And, if society is going to fall, I think Christians have a duty that the church survive, not themselves, which means that we're going to make preparations for the future of the church.
We need to preserve the faith. We need to preserve the kingdom of God, the Church of Christ. And Dave, a lot of that's why I'm doing what I'm doing with the Shepherd Center. I believe these young men will be the future pastors, elders, fathers of the Church of Christ in the year 2025. I mean, let's face it. These young men who right now are 17 or 18 years of age are going to be in their prime at the destruction of the American Empire. I mean, in 2035, these young men are going to be it. I'm sorry, but you better start working on somebody. And you better start working now. And Dave, discipleship, mentorship, walking beside, talking beside. Let's face it. Whatever we can do, if we can open up our basements and start this mentorship, these shepherd centers got to do it. And that's why, of course, I opened up the basement to some 50, 60 men, fathers and sons who came in. And for 5 days, 80 hours, we had lots and lots of instruction in God's word, some rooting and grounding on strong biblical ideas and a biblical worldview. And then we talked about how to build godly families and godly churches for the future. Exciting time. It was just an exciting time.
Kevin, if society is going to fall, it seems to me that we have a stratagem that involves at least two initiatives. One is we have to train men to preserve this time to raise the church. This is what Jesus did. He trained 12 men and some disciples, and they built the church. The other thing that you have to do is you have to leave behind the documentation. In this case, the Word of God, and I would say the richness of our heritage. We have literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of volumes that need to be preserved for future generations. I would not want to think that in 50 years, my descendants would not have any access whatsoever to the documents of the Reformation or the Puritan Reformation or early church history. I mean, if they didn't know who Clement of Rome was, it would be unthinkable.
But Dave, it's all online. It's all online, Dave. It's all this stuff is online. You can get it anywhere.
Uh-huh. And it was all in the Library of Alexandria, too. And the Library of Alexandria was destroyed, as I recalled. And, you know, there are ways that you could very quickly wipe out the electromagnetic resources of the world. A nuclear war across continents would be one way. You'd not only have EMP pulses, but you'd have shockwaves and you would have heat and you would have all kinds of things going on. The point is, Kevin, if the end of this particular society, this American society, is coming to a close, we have a duty to the future. We have a duty to the future anyway. A duty to the future is raising our children. It's raising up future elders. But our duty is also to preserve the thoughts, the history of the men of God and the church.
That's great. That's great stuff, Dave. And I think teach your children not to worship money. Teach them to work. Give them the character. That's something they'll maintain. I mean, hey, they might lose everything else. And my dad said this before. I remember one time calling him up when I was about 20, 22 years of age and said, "Dad, what if I lose everything I have?" He said, "Well, you just get it back again. It's if you have the character to do the work, then you can just work and apply yourself, apply your hands and your mind and get involved. Teach your children to trust in God, not in the government. Teach your children to love God and other people over money and their own pleasures." I mean, man, this is the society we live in, Dave, and those who have been so trusting in government, so trusting in money, so loving money, and they don't have the relationships to sustain them through the dark days ahead, friends, they're going to be in trouble. I mean, a lot of trouble.
They will, because the infrastructure won't be there to support their lifestyle and the money will become worthless. You cannot exchange your dollar bills, your Federal Reserve notes, for a piece of gold anymore or a silver certificate for a piece of silver anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just not there. It's a fiat currency, and a fiat currency is worth just the trust of somebody trusting that piece of paper. When that trust is removed, and that's happening quickly right now, we see the dollar has been downgraded again, and the U.S. economy, you know, we're losing the trust of the world. As the trust diminishes, the value of the dollar will diminish until it's worth nothing. This has happened in history before. It can certainly happen again. Now, what will happen when the rains come and the floods come? Those who have built their life upon the rock will survive, and those who have built it on the shifting sands, great will be their fall.
Which gets us back to what we're supposed to be doing all the time, and that's rooting and grounding our children in the truth of God's word. And that's why our family Bible study guides that I have written through the book of Proverbs, book of Psalms, book of Genesis, Matthew is out now, so you can purchase those Bible study guides at our website, KevinSwanson.com. I encourage you to teach your children the gospel of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. Teach them how to live life on planet Earth. That's the book of Proverbs. That's why I did 800 pages on the book of Proverbs and the application of the book of Proverbs to our children's lives. Friends, the best thing you can do is to give your children good books. That's really the best thing you can do. Teach them the word. Give them good books. Root and ground them in the faith and build covenants and coalitions around a solid biblical basis. This is where it begins. And if you have time, then you might want to buy a hand pump for your well. And that was really the question we started with before we got on the air, Dave. You were considering buying a hand pump for your well. You have a well, services your house out there on the eastern plains of Colorado. So what do? Do you buy the hand pump for the well? I guess we're at that point now. You talked about saving the faith, salvaging the faith, rooting and grounding your children in the right ideas. What do you do with your well?
Well, and that's just the point, is that I want my children to survive. If something dramatic happens, maybe this the power outage that's hit the East Coast and I'm out of water for a week, that's one thing. Something that's much bigger, I could be out of electricity that pumps my well for a long, long time. Do I spend some money? It's a significant amount of money for my family. It's not $50. It's considerably more. It's not $5,000 either. It's somewhere in between. But do I spend that hoping never to use it? In other words, insurance.
Yeah.
You know, because I buy insurance hoping never to use it, except for my life insurance. I hope that I die when it's in force so that my wife can be taken care of. That's another discussion, perhaps another program where you talk about insurance. I buy car insurance hoping never to make a claim.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that's the way I think. I think that that's there. I have to have it by law, but I really try and drive in such a way that I don't crash into people, and I try and avoid them crashing into me. I really don't want to have to pump my well by hand. But if the day happens that I need to do something different to have my family survive, do I count on the 50 gallons of water in jugs in the basement, or do I pump it by hand? And that's the dilemma.
Yeah.
And that's the dilemma.
It's tough. Yeah.
And I don't, I want to be prudent. Yeah. I don't want to be paranoid.
Sure.
But the difference between paranoia and prudence often is just what the future holds.
Well, it's wisdom and faith. And to have faith is essential. That is, trust in God. Lean not unto your own understanding. Don't be the preppy who's just fearful and faithless. And really, you don't get the sense he's believing in a sovereign God on his knees each and every day, trusting in God for his future. You don't get that sense with a lot of the preppies. And so my encouragement is to trust in God. Teach your children to trust in God. Be wise with your expenditures. And don't trust in the monetary economic system that has been handed down to us. Establish some really good investments and an insurance policy here and there, as Dave mentioned, may be a good idea.
Kevin, if the big one hits, you can come over and have a drink of water.
All right. Well, that's a deal, Dave. And that brings up another thing, is that some of our families are going to be more prepared than others. And so it'd be very, very, very important to be in a covenant community where you haven't been breaking relationships and breaking covenant and slapping churches in the face for the last 25 years out of your life. You actually do have a covenant community that can help you through the hard times. It's going to be essential. Become a point at which you can't trust the federal government and FEMA, FEMA, to somehow salvage you through some of the serious emergencies and economic disasters that may come. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking about some of the most important issues. I think we need to be long-term. We have to think about long-term. We have to think about bringing the kingdom of God back and establishing, reestablishing Christian nations, solid nations based upon biblical principles. Once the foundations have entirely cracked and the infrastructures have crumbled, it will give us great opportunities to reconstruct these systems. But first of all, let's plan to build our local families and churches and local communities, elect local sheriffs, and develop some means of self-sufficiency for those local communities in the years to come. Certainly, we can begin to look at power systems that are more localized rather than resting upon the oil from the Middle East. We can develop localized energy systems that could provide energy for 35, 40 years to a small community for a period of time. We're going to see some decentralization in the years to come. We have some exciting times awaiting us, and it will all begin as we begin to build godly families, family economies, decentralized cultural systems, decentralized economic systems, and eventually decentralized political systems. All of this, my friends, is contained in my book. The vision itself is contained in my book, The Second Mayflower, available at my website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to encourage you to look forward into the future with faith, knowing that God is doing something significant. He will bring down these towers of men in order to build up some solid kingdom work that will continue to flourish in generations to come. And should Christ tarry, we have no idea when Christ is coming back. But in the meantime, we are to occupy until he returns. And so let's look forward to the future with great hope and looking forward to the opportunities that God has for us and for our children. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.